Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Now, this powerful book gives us so much. We call this the gospel of God. This book is sometimes called that because it's good news. The book is both doctrinal and practical. It's doctrinal in the sense that it gives us teaching about salvation and Christian life and the church and Israel and the future and all of those things. But it's practical as well because it shows us how to live out who we are every day. We have moved into the section which we call the solution section. See, Paul gives God's solution to man's problem of sin. And the truth is that mankind has fallen. We're all sinners. The solution is all who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life. It's that simple. We are made righteous and declared righteous simply by faith in Jesus. This morning we're going to see a famous man. As we look in chapter 4, we see a famous man that his name is by the name Abraham from the Old Testament, of course. And he was saved how? Simply by faith. And we realize that the only way any human being can ever be saved, can have eternal life, can have a relationship with God, and that's by faith. And so we're going to also continue to focus on a great truth that we started seeing in chapter 3 and now also in chapter 4. It's called the doctrine of imputation. Now, we've talked about that. I'll remind you of that again as we go through it. It's where God gives us his righteousness. It's incredible. We want to have a good understanding of God's plan for us. As we begin, think about this. See, most of us have a bank account. May not have much money in there, but you have a bank account. You have a place that you keep your money. Sometimes you go to the bank and you want to put money in there. And you go in there and there's you have an account number. And you put that account number down and you say, look, I want this money put in my account. And what you want is you want your account credited with your money. Now, we may not always realize this, but this is imputation. Imputation means to credit to an account. Our money is credited to our account. When you look into the Bible, there is the great truth about imputation, and that is this. God's righteousness, that means the goodness and the greatness and the righteousness of God, is actually credited to our account when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's an incredible truth. We saw this beginning back in chapter 3, in fact, basically verse 22 talked about it. And now as we get into chapter 4, it says the same kind of truths. We realize that in order to be with God, now think about this, we're going to be with God, we're going to have to be as righteous as God is. And the truth is that we're all unrighteous, we're sinful, and we've fallen short of God's glory, and we owe God death. So how can unrighteous people be righteous and have an eternal relationship with God? How? By faith in Jesus Christ, because when you believe in Jesus Christ, he gives you his righteousness. This is one of the greatest truths in all the Word of God. It's powerful. This morning, we're going to see that as we go through our passage. Let's remember where we are. We're in the solution section of the book of Romans. In fact, chapters 1, 2, and the first part of chapter 3, we call that the problem section. Because what we saw there is that all people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether the bad man, the good man, the religious man, it didn't matter. All have fallen short. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that does good. And we saw even in Romans chapter 3, verse 9, it says, kind of a summary statement, it said, all people, all human beings are under sin. We're sinful. But then we moved to the solution section, beginning in chapter 3, about 19, and then on in chapter 4, is solution. We've got an overhead that we've been putting up. The solution section begins 321, basically 425. The way of salvation, we are declared right by faith in Jesus Christ. Talked about the law condemns, talks about apart from the law, but we're justified by faith. It even showed that it is both Jew and Gentile. For every human being, it doesn't matter, we're all saved the same way. And then as we get into chapter 4, we see Abraham and David, some Old Testament examples. This morning, we're just going to touch on Abraham. We don't have as much time today, so we're just going to touch on Abraham, and then next week we'll look at David and all of that. So what we're seeing is this solution section to the book. It's so powerful because he tells us we can be saved. We can have that problem of sin can be dealt with, and that is by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as we continue this morning, I want to remind you that we need to emphasize just a couple of terms. You remember the terms that I put up for you? There's only one we really want to hit on this morning, but let me put the terms up again. Grace, faith, justification, imputation, redemption, and propitiation. We saw all those. The one we want to look at today is imputation. Imputation, I've got there, means to be made righteous, but what it really means is to be credited to an account. God's righteousness is given to us, and that's how we can be made righteous. So as we go through the passage, we're going to be talking about that great truth. This morning, we want to highlight that. Now, let's get get the flow of the passage. If you were to go back to verse 21 of chapter 3, 21 through the end of the chapter through 31, what we see over and over again is an incredible truth from the Bible, and that is 9 times you are saved by faith. That's what it says, 9 times. If a person ever came to you and they think, well, you got to do things to go to heaven, you got to be good or something, say, let's do this. Let's just go to Romans chapter 3, start reading at verse 21 and go through verse 31 and see what it says. 9 times it says you are saved, not by works, but simply by faith in Jesus Christ. It's powerful. In fact, verse 27 says, where's the boasting? Verse 28 says, there's no boasting, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So it's a powerful statement. As we get ready to move into chapter 4, he's going to deal with a man by the name of Abraham and then David. We'll see Abraham this morning. Now, why would he do that? Well, the idea is there. This book was written, of course, to the church at Rome. There were a lot of Jewish believers in Rome. There were also Gentiles. Some of the question keeps coming up because Paul was Jewish himself. Most of the first century church, a lot of them were Jewish. The question would be, is this salvation plan, all of this by faith, is that just for Jewish people or for all people? Well, we saw at the end of the chapter last time that it was for all people, Jew and Gentile. And then as we move into chapter 4, he wants to remind us that, listen, you can go all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to the famous man Abraham, and to see that all people have always been saved in the same way, simply by faith. Now, Abraham was an incredible man. Chosen by God. He was in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. Now, you may have said, Ur, that sure rings a bell, because that's where President of our army's been. That's where our people have been. Ur is in Baghdad, in Iraq. And that's a city. And he was living in that city. He left that city and came to the land that God would show him, which we call Israel today. And he made a promise to Abraham. He said, Abraham, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a great nation from you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you, and I'm going to bless those that bless you. You're going to be famous. I'm going to make your name great. And in you, Abraham, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. That's Genesis 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, basically. So here's this man we're going to look at this morning, Abraham, chosen by God, but how in the world was he saved? Same as us, simply by faith. So we're going to see some great things. Let me break down the passage. This morning we're going to look at verses 1 through 5, and we're going to talk about Abraham, and that there's no boasting with Abraham, that we're saved by faith, and we're going to talk about imputation. That's the key. Let's see how it starts. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? Now, last week we just barely touched on verses 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 4, so let's go to a little bit more detail. He says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? Now, what shall we say about Abraham? Now, he's talking about the whole issue of salvation, because that's what he's been dealing with. He says, let's think about Abraham for a second. How was Abraham saved? What did Abraham find about salvation? How is a person saved? Now, remember, Abraham is a great man. And so what happened to Abraham is going to affect others. Notice what he says. What shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? When he says forefather, to the Jewish people, Abraham, of course, was what they call the patriarch. All Jewish people come from Abraham through Isaac through Jacob. That's Jewish people. And he says, now think about Abraham. Let's talk about him. What has Abraham found as far as salvation is concerned? Let's raise this question. Was Abraham saved by doing good? Or was Abraham saved by faith? Was Abraham saved by works? Or was Abraham saved by believing? Well, let's see what he says. Right? He raises a question in verse 2, and we talked about this last time, but notice what he says. For if Abraham was justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. So he raises, and the way he put it in the Greek, he raises this hypothetical type question and says, let's assume for a minute this is true. What if Abraham was justified by works? What if Abraham was declared right before God by doing good things? What if he was? It goes on to say, he would have something to boast about. And you know that's true. Anytime a person does something good, he can boast about that. If there's something you could do for salvation, good works, you could boast about it. You could say, I was willing to do that. What if you said, I was willing to walk down an aisle. I was willing to give my life to Jesus. I was willing to turn away from my sins. I was willing to be baptized. I was willing to join a church. If all of those, if any of those kind of things you could do to be saved, then you could boast. Because you could say, well, other people aren't willing to do that. I was willing to do that. I was willing to turn away from this. I was willing to do this. And so the truth is, any time that salvation can come back to works, that it's something you do, then you could boast. But the truth is, salvation is not by what we do. We're not saved by repenting of sins or turning our lives over to Jesus or walking down an aisle or getting baptized. If we were, we could boast. But what does it say? For if Abraham was justified by works, if he could be declared right before God by something he did, he could boast. He'd have something to boast about. But, notice, here's the contrast, but not before God. He can't boast before God. Why? Because God is the Savior, not man. We can't boast by what we did because we didn't do anything. We are not the Saviors. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. He saves us, not by our works, but by faith. We can never boast. That's why it's so powerful to see that salvation is simply a gift. Notice what it says. He'd have something to boast about, but not before God. There can never be any boasting. If you were to say that salvation would be because you did something, you're the Savior. If my salvation is because I tried to live the best life I could live and try to keep the Ten Commandments and get baptized and go to church and do right things, try to live a good life, then I become my Savior. But I'm not a Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. We can't boast in anything we ever do because we don't do anything. It's all by faith in Christ. So notice what he says. For if Abraham were justified by works, he'd have something to boast about, but not before God. It's not possible. So where is the boasting, as back in 27 said? Well, it's not any, because we're justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Now, when you receive the gift of eternal life, it is a gift. It is not something you do. Anytime there's something you have to do, it is no longer a gift. If I were to say to you, I will give you $5 to wash my car, it's not a gift. You have to do something for it. If I said, I will give you $5, that's a gift. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. If you could do one thing for it, it's no longer a gift. That's why he says back in verse 24, he says of chapter 3, that we are justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Now, what does the scripture say then? If Abraham can't boast, if it's not by Abraham's works, how in the world was he saved? Look what he says in verse 3. What does the scripture say? It says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was declared righteous, was made righteous by faith. What does it say? Abraham believed God. He's quoting Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, in which Abraham believes God and God's promises. See, if you go all the way back to the time of Abraham, God told Abraham that through Abraham would the Messiah come that would save the world and that would save people. Abraham believed God that the Messiah was coming. You go to the Old Testament, you won't find Jesus' name. But what you do find is the seed of woman, the seed of Abraham, the son of David, and then all the way up to the time Jesus is born, and then that's the first time we hear of the one called Jesus of Nazareth. So in the Old Testament, Abraham believed in the coming Messiah. He believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now, this is one of the great truths of the Bible. Notice what it says. Abraham believed God, and it was credited. That's that word imputed. Credited to his account as righteousness. When Abraham believed God, when he believed in the Messiah, God actually gave to Abraham righteousness. See, Abraham was a sinner just like all of us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. What did God give to Abraham? Righteousness. Now, let me tell you something. Every one of us in this room, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you said, I believe that Jesus died for me, I'm trusting Him and Him alone to get me to heaven, I believe He gives me eternal life, the moment you trusted Him, God gave to you His righteousness. Do you realize that Abraham, in this passage, was just as righteous as God because God gave him His righteousness? Guess what? Every one of us in this room that has trusted Christ as Savior, we are just as righteous as God. On your account, God says, perfect righteousness, I just gave it to you. That's the doctrine, what we call of imputation. We who are unrighteous, sinful, and fallen and need a Savior, when you trust in Jesus Christ, He gives you His righteousness. Now, what I want to do for a second is before we get the other two verses, and I'm going to go very quickly, I want to teach you something. I want to show you something that you may, if you've heard this before, this is fantastic. If you hadn't, you're going to love it. There are three what I call great imputations in the Bible. There are three times in which there is something credited, okay, or put into an account. Let me start with the first one. The first one goes all the way back, and it is Adam's sin is credited to every human being's account. That means when Adam was in the garden, and when he disobeyed God, and when he ate the fruit, and he sinned, Adam's sin was put on your account. Every human being that's ever lived and ever will live have Adam's sin on their account. Romans 5:12 says this, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, death passed to all people, for all sinned. Now what that really means is that Adam, who was the head of the human race, is called the seminal view, that when Adam was there and he sinned, he represents all of us. And so when he sinned, and we all got his sin. Now you may say, I don't think I like that one. I don't like that one. I don't like Adam's sin being put on me. Let me ask you this. In a football game, when they line up and the right guard jumps offside, who goes back? Just the right guard? No, the whole team. When Adam sinned, who got the sin? Just Adam? All of us. Now, the first one, we say, I don't like that one. Okay? There's a second one. You ready for this one? Mankind's sins, the sin of every person, past, present, future, for all time, every sin, imputed, placed on Christ when He was on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what does He die for? Everybody says, well, He died for our sins. Whose sins? Every human being for all time. Past, present, and future, every sin you've ever done, every sin you're ever going to do, for every human being that's ever going to sin, every sin was placed on Jesus Christ at one time. Now, we like that one. We go, good, get those sins off me, put them on Jesus. That's exactly what happened. 1 Peter 2:24 says He bore in His body our sins when He was on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He took our sin. It's powerful. 1 John 2:2 says He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Hebrews 2:9 says He tasted death for every person. John 3:16 says God so loved the world. Every sin of every human being was placed on Christ on the cross. That's incredible. And it broke fellowship. There was the wages of sin is death. And when Jesus Christ took the sin of mankind on Himself, there was fellowship broken with the Father, because Jesus takes our sin. That's why on the cross Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because He took all sin of mankind. Now we like this one. Adam's sin to us, we don't like. Our sins to Christ, we love. But let me tell you something. The payment for sin does not save us. We're not saved by the payment of sin. Listen to this verse. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever has the payment of sin will not perish but have eternal life. That's not what it says, is it? Every human being has the payment for sin. Jesus has died for everyone's sins. It's faith that saves us, not the payment for sin. Now, you've got to have something. And you know what that thing you got to have? You got to have God's righteousness. That's the third big imputation. First one, Adam's sin to us. Second one, our sins to Christ. The third one is, whoever believes in Jesus Christ, He gives them His righteousness. Romans 4:5 in our passage says, to the one who does not work but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Every human being who believes in Jesus gets God's righteousness. I hope and pray every one of you in this room have already trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you have, you already have God's righteousness. If you have not, you do not have His righteousness. You got the payment for sin because He died for everybody. To be saved, you need His righteousness that comes by faith. So when we think about this whole deal, Just think about it. Adam's sin to human beings. Human beings' sins to Jesus. Jesus' righteousness to the believer. Philippians 3:9 says, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is the law, but the righteousness of God that comes by faith. That's how we get it. Romans 3:22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, this is imputation. Let me go on and let you see the last part of this passage. We'll go really quickly. Verses 4 and 5 says, now to the one who doesn't work, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. He's going to show a contrast between one who works and one who doesn't work. To the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. Now that means when you work for something, when they give you something for doing that work, it's not a gift to you. You earned it. Now, many of you have had jobs or have jobs now, and you work, and at the end of the week or the end of the 2 weeks or the end of the month, your boss comes out and says, I have a gift for you. I just thought of just the fact that I just would like to give this to you. That's not a gift to you. You just worked. That's owed to you. That's what verse 4 says. Now, to the person who works, the reward that they get is not a gift. It's not a favor. It's what's owed them. But remember, salvation is not what you earn. Listen to what it goes on to say. But to him, verse 5, who does not work, it's not works, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. It's faith. His faith is credited, imputed for what? Righteousness. You get God's righteousness when you believe. It's not your works. It's faith in Christ, and he gives you his righteousness. Now, this is an incredible truth. In fact, I think it's one of the greatest truths in the whole Bible. Because here we are, sinful people, fallen short of God's glory, Adam's sin given to us, then all of a sudden our sins put on Christ on the cross. There we are, and how can we get to be with God? Because we still don't have his righteousness. And we can't be good because the righteousness of man is filthy rags. It can't measure up. All the goodness we could ever do won't make it. So God says, listen, I got a plan. Jesus is going to die for you. He's going to take all your sin. And when you trust him, I will give you my righteousness. That's what it's all about. I hope every one of you have trusted in Jesus. If you have not, right where you're sitting right this morning, you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can trust in him and him alone to get you to heaven, to give you eternal life, to give you his righteousness. And the moment you believe that, you have eternal life. If you trust in Christ as Savior, come let me, maybe today, come tell me. Call the church or come see me or tell me as you go out the door, say, Jimmy, I trusted Christ today. That exact moment, you have his righteousness, you have eternal life. We'll see more next week when we look at the life of David and what it says about him. Well, if Abraham were saved by works, he could boast, but not before God. Abraham believed God and it was credited, given to him as righteousness. There are three great imputations. Adam's sin to us, our sins to Christ on the cross, Christ's righteousness to the believer. We are made righteous by faith. Let me give you two quick applications. Here's the first one. Understand that God's righteousness comes by faith, not works. It's the same thing we've seen all the way over in chapter 3. Now in chapter 4, it's the same thing. We get righteousness not by our goodness, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We are sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. We are not righteous. We cannot be righteous. Our works are filthy rags. When we try to come to God by our goodness, if you have one sin, you're out. We can't make it that way. By faith in Jesus Christ, we get God's righteousness. Let me ask you this question. What's on your account right now? Do you have the righteousness that God demands? If you were to say, but I've been trying to live a good life, the righteousness that's on your account is filthy rags, won't measure up. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, on your account is his perfect righteousness. So understand that God's righteousness comes not by our works, but by faith. There's a second thing I want you to understand, imputation in the Bible. And when I mean that, the big three. Adam's sin given to all people. All people's sins given to Jesus on the cross. And Jesus' righteousness given to anyone who believes. It's powerful. May we have God's righteousness that comes not by our works, but by faith in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And may we have an understanding of the doctrine of imputation, how all these things fit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a great day. Thank you for these truths, Lord. And we thank you for the greatest truth of all, that you give us your righteousness simply by faith. It's not by our works. It's not by what we do. It's by believing in Jesus. You give us righteousness. You make us righteous so that we can be with you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to understand how Adam's sin was placed on man, and man's sins were placed on Christ, and Jesus' righteousness was placed, given to us whenever we believe. Lord, I just thank you for the college students. I love them so, and the families in our service and everything. But Lord, we think about them being leaving for the summer, and we pray that every one of them have your righteousness, which comes by faith. And I pray that you'll use them to tell people about Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can be made righteous, not by our goodness or works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.